Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Up All Night, a horror anthology podcast. My name is Cortland, and with me today is the guy that thinks everybody's out to get him. It's Brandon. How you doing, Brandon?
They are out to get me, Cortland.
I knew it. It's me. I'm out to get you. Well, Brandon, we have a very special guest today. We're back from the Black Case Diaries podcast. It's Robin. How are you doing, Robin?
Hi. I'm back. Yep, I'm here.
Yay.
She's back, and she's better than ever. So, Robin, I have to say, I'm kind of sad we didn't have you on for last episode because the last episode was about a librarian.
Oh, was it?
Ooh. Yeah. It was Maniac at Large. And when I was watching it, I was like, I wonder if this happens to Robin. Robin, when you're in your library, do you think everybody's trying to kill you?
Oh, it does happen from time to time. More often than you think.
I mean, it happens to me, and I live at home. Like, I work from home, so like, yeah.
Yeah. There are a lot of conversations that start, and you think, "Where's this going?"
Yeah, you get those weirdos. See, in that episode, she had to deal with this weirdo that was like really, really obsessed with serial killers, and he was like, "Oh, look at this awesome book. You know, it's 1992, so there's no internet," kind of thing.
Right.
Does that happen to you? Have you had somebody come up to you and just chat about crap with you that you don't care about?
Oh yeah. I mean, there's nowhere for me to go.
They've invaded your working situation. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I've had people come up and ask me, and they'll be really obsessed with something that's a little like, oh yeah, sure, you know. So a little uncomfortable.
I can just imagine somebody walking up and be like, "Do you have a book on necrophilia or something weird like that?" And you're just like, "Get away from me."
I have had the murderer conversation with someone before where someone's like, "Oh man, I'm really into like murderers and stuff." And I'm like, "Okay. Yeah. I'll show you where the books are, and then
then you can forget about me." Yeah.
Just forget this face. Very forgettable face. Don't need to. Yeah.
You know, it makes sense that people are so into it. I mean, look at all the podcasts that are literally just about murderers. So,
yep.
It's kind of one of those things like, you know, it's like taboo stuff and people love it.
Yeah.
Just like Tales from the Crypt and Are You Afraid of the Dark? And same wavelength, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Though if somebody came up to me and said they were obsessed with those things, I would be pretty excited. I would talk to them for a long time.
I would too. It's never happened to me before, but maybe someday.
No. I've asked a lot of people. Yeah, no, most people say no. I'm not really, they don't know anything about it.
Yeah, you know, when I see somebody that's like, "I listen to podcasts or whatever," I'm like, "Have you ever heard of Are You Afraid of the Dark?" They're like, No, I haven't. I'm like, oh, no. There goes my end.
I've heard of and everything but that.
I've actively never heard of it.
I tried to convince a child once that it was a show. A child didn't believe me because he came in looking for a DJ McHale book. And I said, "Oh, DJ McHale, he made like my favorite show." And this kid looked at me for a really long time. And then he said, "DJ McHale is an author.
Oh, my God.
He doesn't make TV."
Damn, you got like, told.
Oh, wow.
I was like, "My bad, I'm so sorry."
You're right, I'm wrong.
How could I be so stupid?
Here's your book. Here's your Pendragon. There you go.
Yeah. So.
Wow. Well, I have to say, I'm really glad that happened to you. I remember we did an interview with DJ McHale, and he was talking about, he hates it when people ask him like very specific questions about like, "What was this character in Pendragon, book 5, thinking about when they said this random quote?" It came up because we asked him, when we did the interview with him, we asked him about the green liquid from The Tale of the Phone Police. Why the sister poured herself a glass of like the green liquid, didn't take a drink of it, and threw it down the sink. We were like, "Why did you do that? Like, why did you make that happen?"
What was the...
And he was like, "I don't fucking know. Are you guys stupid?" And we were like, "I'm sorry, DJ McHale. I didn't mean to offend."
Oh, God.
He's like, all these episodes I just threw together. Like, they were due second hour, and it was first hour. And
I know. We talked to him. We asked much more vague, open-ended questions, so I guess he must have been more in his element for that. Because he was like, "Some people ask me, like, why did you make this blue, and you should have used red?" And I was like, "The title sequence? Are you talking about the title sequence?" He's like, "Yeah."
Title sequence is iconic in blue.
I know. I love a title sequence.
The question about the phone police, though, that came from like It was somebody on the Facebook group that asked about it. And also, he wasn't even that mad about it. I'm just...
Yeah, I'm sure I'm he wasn't. Adding
dramatic emphasis here. He was a sweetheart. I love talking
yeah,
to him.
Yeah, he's such
I talk
a
to him
sweetie.
Every day if I could.
I know. And you know, he always answers my email. Because I emailed him about stuff like later, and he'll always respond. I'm like, dude, you're a real one for sure.
He really is. Yeah. So yeah. You're just like, hey, DJ, it's me, Robin, again.
I'll be like, hey, I read After Midnight, the book that he wrote. I'll be like, oh, dude, like, which one of these was your favorite? questions for no particular reason. They're not answers aren't going anywhere. He'll be like, oh, well, I really like, you know, he's really nice.
He is. So, I like him a lot. Yeah. I have After Midnight. I haven't read it yet.
It's pretty good. I he told me which ones to read. He was like, read this one. Like, which stories to read.
Curated from the author. I love it. Yeah. So I got to ask. I'm going to ask Brandon first. Anything cool happened to you this week, Brandon? Anything awesome
nope.
to know? Or okay. All right. How about you, Robin? Anything fun happened to you since we last talked?
Since we last talked 6 months ago.
Has it been that long already? I guess yeah. It has.
According to Skype, it's been about 6 months or so.
Skype knows.
Let's see. Christmas happened at some point.
No.
I remember that.
It's a new year, new Robin. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Every year is my year. So that's what
hey,
I tell
my
myself. Well, this is finally it, you know. I've been saying it for about 7 or 8 years now, but I think this is finally my year.
2024, year of the Robin. Yeah.
That's right. But yeah, not too much going on with me. Everything's chill. Everything's good, you know.
Cool. What was the last episode that you were on with us? Because I know it was Tales from the Crypt. Oh, it was the Haunted House one, right?
Yes, it was one that featured a chainsaw. So there's
Beautiful.
That.
Oh.
Yeah.
Perfect. We've gone from photography to chainsaws.
First it was cameras. Now
yes,
chainsaws.
Yes. Yeah. It was the Rip Trip episode.
Oh, Rip Trip. Poor Trip.
Yeah.
He didn't deserve
poor
it.
Trip. Trip deserved better.
Well, we just got done watching an episode of Tales from the Crypt. It was Split Personality.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask Robin first. What did you think of Split Personality?
Well, Joe Pesci's acting was top tier, as always. Mm-hmm. Definitely top shelf stuff. I think I thought it was really, honestly, just more eerie and interesting than the other ones. There was never really a moment where I was like scared. I was a little uncomfortable a couple of times, like a little more uncomfortable than I usually am watching the show. I think there was just some odd things going on here.
It's the twins, wasn't it?
The twins talking in unison and the monotone voices. I think, you know, just like, if only there was two of him. Like, I just, yeah. That kind of stuff. There was a kitty in this one, though. Big fans of the kitties. Yeah, loved those.
I don't think it ever got a name or anything, but yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And I guess I just assumed there were two kitties because there were two
twins,
right?
Yeah.
There were two of them, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
So, two twin black cats.
Yeah, we just didn't see the other one, yeah.
Who knows, right? There were definitely more than one during filming, I'm sure. But yeah.
Now, the other one had a ponytail and lived in Africa.
Oh my God.
Yeah, South Africa specifically, right? Yeah. But yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I really liked seeing Joe Pesci in a Tales from the Crypt episode. So.
Yeah, me too. Brandon, what did you think? Did you enjoy Split Personality?
Oh, I loved this episode.
Oh man.
Joe Pesci is playing a caricature of Joe Pesci.
Yeah.
It is just amazing to see.
It's been interesting. We've been on a really like nice kick of good episodes from Tales from the Crypt. Season 4 has been pretty great.
Yeah.
It's like they all finally found their groove, one. You know?
It took a couple. Like, I'm not going to say that the last seasons were terrible or anything, but yeah, we've gotten like a slew of really good episodes lately, and it's been... I'm just waiting for the downfall. I'm not sure what's gonna happen. I just know.
We say this every episode, so like we're building it up. So when there's like a real shit episode.
Yeah, the second we get a shit episode or whiff a shit episode or something, like we're going to be like, told you guys, we knew it. It was inevitable.
Yeah, misfortune cookie. I knew it.
Well, do you guys want to get into this episode? We got some stuff to talk about. I have a lot of scenes of like very, it reminded me of the Tale of Locker 22 or whatever, where there's like a lot in this episode. It's going to be pretty confusing. Yeah. So I'm just going to apologize first and foremost. But Our episode starts up with our bestie, the Crypt Keeper, using an abacus that's filled with eyeballs. He notices us, which is my favorite thing that happens, when he's like, oh my god, it's you guys. And he says, yeah. Oh, hello, kiddies. Tonight's coffin caper is so crammed with ghastly greed, sickening sex, and vomitous violence that parental guidance is advised. He puts down that abacus, and we see that he's got, like, I got a poker table, he's got cards and money and chips. He's just like, I don't know, having a good time.
Yeah, by himself.
Yeah, by himself. There's nobody else here. He says, so, guide your parents out of the room so we can have some fun. And he giggles. He adds that this tale concerns a gambling man with a bad case of double vision who's about to hit the hackpot. He calls this twin helping of horror split personality.
Oh, man. That joke was great. So guide your parents out of the room so we can have fun. I thought that was a great joke. I was like, that was a good one, Crypt Keeper.
He's never done anything like that before where he's like talking to kids.
A little switcheroo.
You know?
Yeah. I wonder if they had to do it.
Well, you know, there's so many people. Like, I go on Twitter and like, there's so many people that are like, oh, I grew up with Tales from the Crypt as my bedtime stories. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure you did. A lot of kids probably watched this show. I mean, I didn't when I was a kid much at all. Mm-hmm. I think I watched like one or two episodes, but I'm sure there's a lot of kids that grew up with it. So I like that they, I don't know if it was intentional or not, but they, you know, leaned into it and it was funny.
I have met a lot of people that said, yeah, I watched Tales from the Crypt as a kid. And that really blew my mind because I didn't see this show until I was an adult. And I was like, there's boobs in this. Children watch this? Oh, okay.
I will say, though, I think that, I mean, I don't know what year it was, but I watched it first on Fox. Like, I think it got in Syndicate or whatever, and it was on Fox 66. And I watched season 2, episode 1, whatever one that one is. Doesn't it have, like, Demi Moore in it or something?
Oh, that one.
Yeah. The one where she marries the guy for money, and then, I watched that one. I remember specifically watching that one on Fox. And then there was a vampire episode, I think, too, that I've seen a little bit of, too. So I don't know. Maybe it was like the kids watching it in syndication because, like, I don't know about you, but I couldn't afford HBO or my family couldn't.
Oh, no. You know, there were sometimes there would be special weekends when you'd have like an HBO weekend and one of the channels or networks would show you what was on HBO that weekend. So sometimes we could see stuff. And every once in a while. So I knew about the show, but I wasn't allowed to watch The Simpsons. So I don't.
<That's okay. laughs> It got banned in my house. And then South Park happened. And I had older brothers, though. So like they would watch it and I would like sneak in and watch it. But whatever.
I would get sent to the basement while my brother watched The Simpsons. But then I figured out what channel it was on. And there was a TV down there. So
you got banished, but you were like, Robin does what Robin wants.
That's right.
We have to talk about the picture for this episode, though, you guys, because my first impression of the picture we're shown here was just like, what? So there's a condo or something in the background. It ends up being like a really nice built architectural, beautiful house. And in the middle of that is the depiction of Joe Pesci. I assume, since spoilers, he's the main character of this episode.
Right.
But it looks nothing like Joe Pesci at all.
Maybe they hadn't casted him yet.
Very generous to Mr. Pesci.
Yes.
Physically.
Yeah, like, you know what? No shaming Joe Pesci here, but he's a little bit chunky in this episode, you know? But the depiction of him in this one is like this skinny guy who has like barely a little bit of body hair. And he's getting like this belly, he's getting his belly rubbed by a woman in a bikini. And then in front of them is another woman in a bikini who looks kind of pissed. And she also has a chainsaw in her hands. So.
Yeah, and she's like holding it towards her face. So very poor chainsaw safety.
She doesn't have like goggles or anything.
No. She's wearing a bikini. Like,
I mean,
as little protection as you can wear without just being fully naked.
Yeah, and she's got that chainsaw. I don't know. She's not like hiding the chainsaw at all from Joe Pesci, and Joe Pesci's just loving it. So I don't know. It's a very odd cover to me.
Yeah.
It looks like a Sean Connery as James Bond, just with some babes.
That is very generous to Joe Pesci.
Some babes. But yeah, we pop over to the episode with some jazzy, like Las Vegas music, and we're looking at this big centerpiece with lights and wine glasses and everything for a moment. Before we pan across this casino, this Las Vegas-y looking casino. I've never been to Las Vegas, so like, correct me if I'm wrong, but
I mean, inside of a casino, you can't tell where it is. It could be anywhere.
Right. They could have been in Vermont or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have some boring casinos here in Michigan. It could have been the Soaring Eagle. Who knows? There's like some slot machines. There's poker tables, all that jazz. But I do got to say, it does not look very busy. There's like nobody here.
Nah.
It's a very boring casino.
Maybe it is Michigan.
We pass by a woman delivering drinks and stop on some old dude playing blackjack. The old man, who is named Gambler in IMDb. I think they call him Dan. I'm just going to refer to him as Gambler, though.
Gotcha.
He asks the dealer to hit him. And then is all, oh, I barely even played this game. Those green chips, what are these, like $5? And the dealer tells him, no, those are $50. And the gambler is all sweaty here saying, no way, I meant to only bet $5. And the dealer tells him there's no takesies backsies. So the bet stays.
House rules, he says.
Yeah, the house rules. You put the chip on the table, it's a binding contract. There's no going back. The gambler argues that he made a mistake, and we look over and see Joe Pesci is honing in on that conversation. Like, he hears it, and he's like, whoop, like the camera whips him around so that we know he is paying attention to this.
He's a sucker born every minute, he thinks.
Mm-hmm. Joe here, he swivels in his chair, and he puffs on his cigar as the dealer tells the poor gambler it's the house rules, and too bad, so sad. The guy tells the dealer to hit him again, so he gets another card, and it all adds up to 19. The dealer says that he could have a 20 and asks if the gambler wants another card. Instead of answering that, the gambler talks about how his kids has some kidney issues and his insurance won't cover it because gambler dude here has some crap happen to him in the army and blah, blah, blah.
Right,
typical like customer service stuff you hear when you're on the job kind of thing.
Yep.
The dealer, he does not give a shit. And
yeah, he really doesn't.
And asks if he wants another card. Over to the side, Joe Pesci, whose character's name is Vic, tells the gambler to go ahead and take another card because...
You make blackjack on the next card, the house pays 5-1. You're rich, Ace.
Gambler here argues a little, saying, yeah, but that's only if I get a 2. And Vic throws down $100, saying that he bets he's going to get a 2. So gambler takes a drink and says, all right, what the hell? Deal me a 2. And the dealer does exactly that, you guys.
Ooh. Oh,
that was very nice of him.
Yeah,
this confused me. I was like, is Joe Pesci's character supernatural? How did he know?
You know, I know that there's a thing where you can, like, count cards for blackjack, but, like, I've never played blackjack. Okay, if I ever go to a casino, which I never do, the last place I'm going to go is a blackjack table, because I'm not going to be the person sitting there being like, what do I do now, you guys? And everybody's like, are you fucking kidding me? Get off of my table. You know, that's never. I would never.
I don't understand the game, I'll be honest. I was watching, I was like, wait, I'll never understand this. This what's happening here. Yeah, I was really wondering for a second, because I didn't know where this episode was going, and I was like, oh, does he own the casino?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Does he just know? Like, how did he know?
Look, the thing about this is that it's all leading up to Vic here loving the number 2. I think that is the only reason that they have anything to do with this casino for whatever reason. They're like, oh, let's show he likes 2 by doing this. I don't know.
All right.
We quick cut over to the gambler, and he's fanning all of his new money because he's like hot and he's like fanning himself with it or whatever, reading it. I don't know. And he's smiling because he's happy because he just won a whole bunch of money. He walks over to Vic, who's like sitting at the bar having a drink, and he hands him a little bit of money. And Vic tells him, whoa, 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 that's for your kid's operation. I can't take it. And gambler here is all, nah, I mean, it's more money than I even need. It's the least I could do.
The gambler is thinking internally, actually, that was a bullshit story I made up.
I know.
You were listening to that?
I thought the whole thing, like, I thought at some point they were going to be like, yeah, what are you talking about with your kid? Like, but no, I mean, they just play it off as if it is a thing and his kid needs an operation.
It's very sincere.
Yeah. He's
gambling to try and make the money. I don't know. So Vic here, he wipes his eyes saying, I don't know what to say, man. Like, listen, it's very kind of you, but I can't accept it. You keep it. My gut tells me you need it more than I do. And my gut never lies. Like, knowing that 2 was waiting for you. Let me tell you something, Ace. 2 is my lucky number. Double your pleasure. 2 heads are better than 1. All that shit. The best things in life come in 2s. A waitress walks over for a drink, and the gambler here tells her to make it 2 doubles. Mm. Then he smiles over at Vic, and Vic tells him, look, Doc, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not in the best financial shape, but I can still call out a favor or 2. And I know for a fact that you need a wad for your medical expenses. So here's the deal. I got an inside, like, no-risk, tax-free, limited partnership investment. Guaranteed to double our monies. I know. Minimum 10 grand. You keep that cash. Write me a personal check now. and give me your address and phone number. Inside 2 weeks, we're sitting pretty. Your boy gets his operation. We call it two friends doing each other a favor. What do you say? The gambler thinks that sounds perfect, and we pop over to a man stamping a stamp down on a check, asking, so, would you like this in cash, sir? And it's Vic, because I guess he's just, like, swindled this man out of money for
something. Yeah, he just went right to the cash-out station, I guess. I'm not sure where he is.
I think he's still in the fucking casino. I don't know.
They can cash checks in the casinos? I didn't know that. Like, it's a bank?
This was 1992. It was a whole different time.
Whoa.
You just stamp a check and bam, they give you hundreds. I don't know.
They give you 10 grand in $100 bills. Yeah.
You get it all in chips.
Ugh, chips. We see him zip up his money in a little pack and he walks over to the dealer and he gives him a little tip saying, it's always a pleasure. And the dealer tells him not to mention it and calls him slick. So I don't know if the dealer's in on it or what.
He's definitely in on it. It's a whole thing.
I mean, look, it seems like it's very illegal, but it seems like Vic's got a good thing going. So I don't know. Because we never see the casino again. Okay. All that talk about him being a gambling man is gone.
We never see the casino. We never see this dealer. There really could have been a whole episode about him running scams in this casino. Because I feel like that really, that there was a lot of story there that he had to have been in on it. The dealer, I would think. But yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be a whole thing because they had Burt Young as the gambler and Joe Pantoliano as the dealer. And like those are both recognizable people. But then they're just like out of the story after this.
Yeah. I mean, they could have even just repurposed that whole beginning scene into an entire different Tales from the Crypt episode where like, you know, the casino is on to him and gets dicey. Chop poker.
Yeah.
But nope, we get it at a twins episode.
I know it takes a hard left turn into Twinsville. Yeah.
We circle fade to a ceiling fan and then just zoom in on Joe Pesci as he says that he's got to get out of this shithole. He's so tired of dodging feds and sweet talking old ladies out of their rainy day cash. And we look over and we see that Vic is laying in bed in his boxers with a naked woman next to him.
Yes.
And she's smoking a cigarette. He tells her one of these days he's going to settle down and make that big con. Who knows? Maybe he'll even get married. The woman, she is bored by all of this talking and asks, so did you pay me to fuck or did you just listen to your life story?
Oh, boy. So this episode wasn't going to be on Fox.
No.
Yeah.
There's a movie or two. Yeah.
Yeah. This one's pretty rated R. Yeah.
Vic hates that sass. Slaps her in the face with a wad of cash.
Ooh, Jesus. Yeah. That was like the first moment where I was like, oh, I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I really was like, oh, God, I don't like that.
You were like, why did they ask me to do this episode? I just, his reaction to this is just like, He yells at her to shut the fuck up and that he's paying her to be anything he wants. Oof. He settles back down and puffs on his cigar saying, I remember the first time I saw that picture. The Parent Trap, okay, because now we're talking about the Parent Trap.
With Haley Mills.
Yeah, what the hell? Where did this come from?
I don't know what the hell is going on in Vic's mind here.
Do you know who wrote this episode, Cortland?
No, I don't.
This episode is written by Fred Decker, who wrote and directed Monster Squad.
Oh my God.
That's awesome.
Well, like, spoilers, this is the plot points episode we're going to cover for patrons right after this. Vic here says,
I used to pop a Woody every time I saw those two do a scene together.
I always wanted to make it with twins.
Okay.
I know.
And, like, they're, like, 12 years old in that movie. Or, I'm sorry, she's 12 years old because it's just Haley Mills. Those two do a scene together.
Haley and Haley Mills.
We look up at the ceiling fan again as some music starts playing, and then we fade over to Vic driving his car, singing along to a song for a while, until two black cats, so I guess there is two black cats, Robin.
Yeah, all right.
Until two black cats run out in front of him, and he swerves off the road. His tire blows, but he's okay, you know, it's fine. He gets out, he kicks that tire saying, son of a bitch! Then he looks around and sees a gate with two signs saying no trespassing and no solicitors. There's also two convertibles there. So Vic says, talk about a welcome. And then he walks past that gate because apparently it's like very easily just walk pastable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might as well not even be there.
Yeah. And he checks out the cars.
He just kind of walks right around it. Like, no problem.
It's so ridiculous. He walks past those and sees a very bright, like, pink house, and it has a blue roof. And it reminds me of the trans pride flag, honestly.
Oh.
I think it's beautiful. I don't think this house would actually be those colors, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Vic takes out his sunglasses, asking,
what the fuck is this piece of shit?
I know. That was my favorite. I love it.
What the fuck is this?
He is, like, the worst human being, but he also breaks for kitty cats, which is, like, very nice, I guess, you know. He loves the kitty cats, but then he goes out and he sees someone else's house, and his first thought is, like, what a shithole. Like,
it's not, though. Like, it's a very luxurious-looking house.
It's a really beautiful nice house.
And I was like, did they even write this dialogue for Joe Pesci, or did he just start talking and just started rolling the cameras?
I bet you that's what it was.
He's like, yeah, that's not a casino. Oh, I love it.
That's not two houses.
But, I mean, after that, after he calls his house shit, he just struts over to the back of the house, opens that shit up, and looks inside. He calls out, come in, and then, thank you, don't mind if I do.
Just some light B&E, yeah.
Yeah.
And with that, Vic's inside this house, and he says hello, but nobody responds to him. Then he checks out his lip and notices that he's got a cut on there, some blood. So he dabs it all around his face and, like, tussles up his clothes a little bit to make it look like he was kind of banged up in his car accident kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Vic walks a little inside and sees a picture frame that has a headline from the Architectural Report in it. It's a picture of this house that he's in, and also this white dude with a little old man afro. He reads the name,
Etchison Dobbs Blair,
and then says,
what a goofy looking fuck he was.
Joe, we're rolling
poetry.
From behind Vic, we hear somebody yell, don't move, and they point a gun at him. Vic looks up as the woman adds, unless you want your brains all over daddy's picture. She walks a little closer to him, asking how he got in here. Because you didn't lock your doors, sweetie.
Right, yeah. First of all, your gate blocks nothing, and your doors are unlocked.
Yeah. I think I know exactly how he got in there. Yeah. Vic says, oh, take it easy, okay? I just had a little accident down the road. All I need to do is use your telephone to make a phone call. I'll be out of here in two shakes, I promise. From a little further into the house walks another woman who looks identical. Because it's, you know, her identical twin sister.
Right.
And she walks out and Vic is all, huh?
How could this be?
Ooh.
She stands over by her sister holding a cat and Vic just shakes his head and, like, checks his eyes because he can't believe there could ever possibly be identical twin sisters in the world.
He's like, am I seeing double? I just talked about how much I love twins, but they're not real.
The gal with the gun introduces herself as April, and her twin sister's name is June. And Vic asks, well, what happened to May? And then he giggles. But April cocks the gun and looks super pissed in response. So Vic tells her, sorry, you know, pardon my stupid attempt at a joke. Anyway, can I use your telephone? And he picks up that phone and starts dialing zero with it while commenting that they have a beautiful home. It's not a piece of shit at all. And in fact, next to the Case Observatory in Old Valley, he thinks this house might be Blair's greatest architectural achievement. I don't know where he's getting all of this, but
did
German
he skim the article? Yeah, sorry.
No, you're fine. Like, this part was very confusing to me because he just goes into, like, greasy mode where he just happens to know everything about architects stuff. And
he's
I'm just
bullshitting.
Like,
but I didn't go back and look, but, like, how much information was on that, like, cover that he saw? Did he get all of that from that cover?
I mean, it was like 30 words, you know, like it was, I don't know how.
I don't know. He knows anything. Apparently he's got a thing for architect. Maybe that's why he knew. Like, he's like, oh, that house is a piece of shit. It's crappy built. Like, I don't know. He goes into talking about German expressionism, 50s influence. The two girls, they just look at each other and say in unison,
you knew who our father was?
And Vic's all, are you fucking kidding? That man was a genius. If you look at a copy of Who's in Architecture, your father's the only listing. Know what I'm saying? April lowers that gun now because she's impressed and looks at June again. And Vic continues saying, I don't know anybody that took the influence of the Baja school and adapted it better to his own unique style. Vic, what the fuck are you saying?
How did he know this stuff? I was so confused.
I have no idea. I don't get it.
He loves amazing. Two things, the number two and architecture.
My favorite part is when he goes, psh, that guy was unbelievable. Then on the phone, because like somebody finally answered, he says, hello? Yeah, I need a tow truck. April walks closer to Vic. Now, before I go further, there are two twins. They are identical. And one of them's named April, one of them named June. If I get them mixed up, I'm just going to apologize right now because it's nearly impossible to know which one is which.
It's so yeah. hard. It is pretty much impossible. Basically, they're just the same person.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the episode kind of treats them as the same person. Yeah. So it's fine. April walks closer to Vic saying that he can get that later. He's been in an accident. She sets the phone down for him as Vic tells the gals it wasn't a serious accident. He's just had a bump on his head. His tire blew. He asks her what her name is again, and she says, I'm April. So she shakes her hand, and Vic is reintroduced to June. We cut to a little later where one of the girls is pouring Vic a drink, and she says they don't have any visitors. Vic's all, for real? Girls as beautiful as you two? I find that hard to believe. The gals say that there's people that would love to take advantage of them, and Vic is all, really? And the sister slides in asking Vic if he knew that they were worth $2 billion. Vic takes a sip of his drink and coughs. Do you just bring that up in casual conversation? Like, did you even know I'm worth $2
billion? Gosh, do you even know?
Of course it
did
was $2
billion. Did you see a magazine cover about it?
I mean, I don't know. A fair question, because apparently he knows so much about their father. That, like,
right.
But no, but I don't know.
They're like, you didn't know that we're super duper rich? Oh, well. Now you do.
Are architects pulling in billions of dollars?
This is 1992, Brandon, okay?
Okay, so that's very like the equivalent time. Of like $1 billion today.
They have Jeff Bezos money right now, okay?
Yeah, from designing a couple of buildings. I don't know.
We're in the wrong business, Brandon. We got to stop this podcast and start up an architect.
Oh,
okay.
Man.
You go to architect school and I will feast on the profit, you know? It'll be fine. It's great setup. We pop a little later here, and Vic is entertaining April and June with some stories. He's talking about how there he was, a suck piece? I don't know. And his good friend Preston Chatfield of the Hyenas Chatfields? Look.
What?
Joe Pesci.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
You know, in my notes here, I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Fair, he really fair. Knows how to sell it, though, man. He's just like, well, there I am. This is a great story. Like, sure.
The twins love it, though. They smile at each other. They are eating out of the palm of his hand.
Right.
He goes on to say that he made a bid on this exquisite lamp or something. All of a sudden, he noticed the tiniest little scratch on the finish, and he goes, oh, my cat did that 2 years ago. But that lamp, it still would have been in his collection. Look, this doesn't matter, okay? He's just like... bullshit talking and like talking about what he thinks these girls would love, which is a lamp, I guess, and that got scratched by a cat. None of it matters. Around the corner, we see a dude walking in a blue shirt, and he knocks on the gigantic window, and the gang doesn't notice it, even though Vic here goes on about how he just loves cats and wants to pet June's cat. But then it scratches and hisses at him because it knows that Vic is a monster.
Right.
Yeah. Cats can tell.
Finally, they do hear the knock on the door, and in walks this guy asking, hey, what's all the hubba in here? Did somebody call for a tow truck? And we hear Vic mutter, oh, I knew it was too good to last. And then he giggles and thanks the ladies for their hospitality. He smooches their hands, saying that he hopes he wasn't too much of an inconvenience. And April and June tell him, if you want, you can come back and visit. I think that'd be pretty dope.
So did this tow truck company... like have tracing capabilities? Because
they had to have. Had to have.
The only thing he said was, I need a tow truck. And then the woman hit the receiver and the call was over.
They were like, we've got the trace.
Don't worry, the call was long enough.
It's like when you call the cops and they're like, have him stay on the line so we can get where his location is, you know? But this is even faster than the cops because the phone conversation was 3 seconds long.
Right. I mean, they've got high tech equipment at this tow truck company.
They're the best in town. I don't know. We cut back over to Vic in bed with another woman, and he's talking about how lucky he was and how he must have died and went to heaven. At first, he couldn't figure out why a couple of rich babes like that would hold up like hermits. But hey, when fish come to you already in a barrel... guy can't complain too much. We pop over to Vic delivering some flowers and still getting his voice over here saying, so I went to work. We hear some pretty classic music playing now about how everybody falls in love somehow. I don't know.
Dean Martin.
It's a song. Yeah, Dean Martin. We watch Vic and the gals look over like blueprints or something together, and then the cat attacks Vic again, which he laughs nervously about. And he takes the gals out on the town. They're all dressed up the same, which is great to see, you know?
What I loved about the montage was that, like, every once in a while you'd see him and he would have more bandages on, like, on his hands. Or, like,
I didn't notice that.
Because, like, the cats were attacking
him. Oh, that's
cats
great.
Are just always attacking Vic. The voiceover talks about how the girls slowly but surely got out of their shells and started eating ice cream in public.
Wow!
Oh, shit. Vic, you're a miracle worker.
Seriously? He got them gals some ice cream. We see Vic smooch the girls on the cheek and deliver them back home, and he waves goodbye, and the gals watch after him and then smile. One of them asks the other, "You think of what I'm thinking?" And the other twin just wishes that there was two of him. And then they wave him away and they watch as he goes by. And the voiceover says that Vic is ready to make his move, and he's got to get each of them alone. And this is where things get confusing.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
We pop back over to him in bed, and he says, "When I did that, though, boy, did things get real interesting." And we teleport over to the girl's house, and one of the twins is giving him like a tour or something, saying, "So, Daddy designed both bedrooms exactly alike, like two sides of a mirror." And we see them walk through two identical rooms, and she adds that that's kind of like her and June. Mm-hmm. Vic asks, "Oh, yeah? Where is June anyway?" We quick fade over to Vic with June, and June tells him that April went out, even though she hasn't been out of the house in months.
Well, except to eat ice cream.
It's a fun... Yeah, I know. She found ice cream, so she's out getting that again. This whole stuff is, like, very cross-faded, because you see Vic with one girl, like, having the same conversation with one as the other. And it can be very confusing because I don't know exactly which girl is which. I'm going to do my best to try and
explain.
Doesn't
matter.
Yeah, ultimately it doesn't matter. Another crossfade to April saying that June's always been a little more outgoing than me. She sits down on her bed saying that they never needed to go out before Daddy died. Quick cut to June, who says they fought over him constantly, but now we have each other.
Ugh.
Another fade to April and Vic walking up saying, "You two are pretty close, ain't yous?" April tells him, "Oh yes, inseparable. Until now." Another fade, and Vic is telling June that she seems sweet. June agrees, but adds, "Unless you cross her." Fade to April, and Vic asks, "Come again?" And April's all, "Well, I mean, everyone has a dark side, don't they? The side you don't see much." Another fade, Vic asks, "She's got a temper, huh?" And June tells him, "Almost like a split personality."
Oh, title.
Forced title drop, yeah.
They're like, "We have to fit it in somewhere."
Yeah. We fade and Vic says, "Get out of here. I can't see your sister hurting a fly." And the twin tells him, "You don't know the half of it." Vic gets closer to her face saying, "Look, I would never say this to her. So it's got to be our little secret, okay?" And then we fade to June saying, "Her sister and her ain't got no secrets. They share everything. 50-50. Vic gets close saying, "But this might hurt her feelings. You don't want to do that, do you?"
Ooh.
The other twin shakes her head, and Vic says that he thinks them twins ain't exactly identical. She asks, "What you talk about?" And Vic tells her that one of you is just a little more beautiful than the other. And we see him smooching the two girls in separate cuts. Very stylized, but very difficult for me to explain in notes. You had to be there. You just had to watch it.
Yeah, you just have to watch the episode. You're doing a great job, though. I'm really there. I feel like I'm watching it again.
Wow, that's what I'm going for. We then cut over to scenes of the twins screaming and smooching on Joe Pesci. But enough of that. Back with Vic in bed. He says he's got both in the palm of his hands. Either one will marry him in a New York minute. All I gots to do is pop the question. But that only gets me half the fortune.
Only half of the $2 billion.
$1 billion. What's even the point, you know? They both have equal pay on every cent. 50-50. The only way I can get it all is if I marry both of them. And the only way I could do that is if there were two of me.
The way he says that line is so great.
Yeah, because it like zooms in on his face and he snaps awake. Yeah.
Two of me.
Because this whole time he's been telling this story that we've been watching just to the lady that's in bed with him. Like
the very bored lady.
Yes. Yeah, she's like falling asleep. See her trying to like just, you know, casually fall asleep next to him and stuff. And it's like, oh no.
So this episode, This episode takes a really ridiculous turn here.
Mm-hmm.
Because with that, we teleport back to the house and the twins say, "A twin brother," in unison. Vic tells them, "I know it seems like a stupid coincidence. I guess I was too embarrassed to bring it up until now," which makes no fucking sense.
I know it seems like a ridiculous plot point, but...
I know. He's like, "It's so embarrassing that I have a twin, right? Isn't it the most embarrassing thing ever?"
It's cringe, am I right, guys?
Look, you guys, I don't have a twin, but I feel like if you met a twin, like, that would be a very the quick first bonding thing to be like, "Oh my god, you have an identical twin? I do too. That's crazy." Yeah. But not for Vic. He brings
never
it up like a
before.
Month later.
Never
they're
came
just
up.
So into him. They just don't. They just can't see it. They can't see how ridiculous it is.
It's so stupid. The girls demand more information. Where is he? What's his name? Vic tells them his twin's name is Jack, and he's in South Africa. In fact, we have some pretty important holdings there, and business demands that one of us stay there at all times. So he stays there a month. I spot him the next, and so on. We trade off. The girls ask, completing each other's thoughts, "Does this mean you're leaving?" Vic tells them, "Yeah, I'm afraid so, but it's only for a month. Besides, look, my brother will be home in a few days. I already told him about you guys. Maybe he could drop by for a little visit, but I must warn you, he's a little more outgoing than I am. He's less educated and not as well-spoken. He talks that California jargon, and he's very flamboyant."
Oh, man.
Hey there, everybody. Cortland here, your good buddy and your twin sister. Thank you so much for joining us today, whether this is your first episode or you've listened to everything that we have going on here. We are just so thankful for you spending some time with us. There are tons of bonus contents available over on Patreon. Just visit patreon.com/privateisland and become a patron to unlock bonus episodes, bloopers, full-length episodes, and so much more. You can help support our show with any of our tiers. I'd like to take a moment to thank our current patrons: The Beths, Venice Witch, Tristan, Redemption, Lyle, Eddie, Ray, Rad Magical, Faith, and Chain, The Goths, Stephen, Matt, Aaron, Brittany, Sid, and Corey, The Citizens of Carlsville, Sarah, Mr. Normal, Matt, Keith, Christy, Angela, and Meredith, and your boys and girls, Kathy, Farron, Bryce, and Brian. Thank you for your support, everybody. Brandon and I truly appreciate it. You can follow us on social media for new posts nearly every day. I've been working hard to create a lot of content for social media, TikTok in particular, and I'm hoping to hit about 1,000 followers this year. You can find us on Twitter at UANPod, on Instagram and Threads at Up All Night Podcast, on YouTube at Up All Night HA Podcast, and on TikTok at Private Island Presents. If you want, you can chat with me live as I play some video games on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/PrivateIslandC. I go live every couple of nights, starting around 9 p.m. Eastern. Lately, I've been playing a lot of World of Warcraft with my wife, but I do like to play things like Diablo 2, some Stardew Valley, Resident Evil, and more. Everything is Are You Afraid of the Dark, Goosebumps, and Tales from the Crypt themed, so you can go ahead and play some sound bites for me, or hopefully soon, some video clips. I'd like to take a moment to thank the Benevolent Badger for their work on the music for our show, aside from this theme dating start from Undertale, composed by Toby Fox. I'd also like to thank Brandon for his work on the artwork. Thank you so much for listening in. For now, I'll let you get back to the episode, and I will talk with you again next week. Bye, everybody. With that, we see a man step into camera, and it's goddamn Joe Pesci. But he's got this, like... he's got some serial killer sunglasses on. He's got this dagger earring.
And the ponytail.
The ponytail.
Such a look for Joe Pesci.
I didn't see it at first because he hadn't like shifted to the side or anything, but he's got this ponytail on. Oh my God. He calls out, "Whoa, ladies. Vic told me you were a couple of radical babes."
That California jargon.
I mean, he's got that jargon down, man.
"But I must confess to being totally stoked and overwhelmed. You dig?"
California in 1974, maybe.
He watched an episode of the Brady Bunch. Who knows? The girls giggle and Vic hands them over some flowers. Then he starts singing, "I'm too sexy for Milan. Too sexy for Milan." Etc. I don't know. It's his favorite song.
It's so good.
And then I have in my notes here, this is where I noticed the ponytail, because I have, "Oh shit, then he turns and he has a goddamn ponytail."
Sorry for ruining the ponytail.
It's totally fine. This fades us over to a wedding where April is getting married to Vic. Her wedding dress, by the way, I think it's gorgeous. And June is there. She's like crying because her sister's getting married. We pan over to the sky and then back, and it's nighttime, and it's another wedding where April is getting married to Jack. I don't think he has the ponytail or the glasses on, but he does still have that earring in, so he is
He's got the ponytail. The jig would be up if he wasn't wearing that.
Right.
I mean, he could easily just be like, yeah, I got my hair cut, and now I don't have a ponytail anymore, but it's not as fun if that were to be.
No. Exactly. That ponytail's doing a lot of heavy lifting.
They get married, and the camera zooms in on Joe Pesci, and he smirks and says, bingo, and puffs on a cigar. Because that's what you do when you get married.
Yeah. That's what I said during my vows.
Yeah. After you get them, you're like, bingo. And then your husband's like, what? What was that? Goes, nothing.
You know, it was his name-o.
Nothing, honey. Let's have a wonderful life together. We cut to sometime later where somebody with a chainsaw is chopping a tree limb. And we pan over to see like a swimming pool and Joe Pesci is swimming away with a cigar in his mouth, which I can only imagine was really difficult. But he does it. He's a man of many talents.
He's a professional.
They're probably like, now, Joe, we're going to have you do something in this scene that might be kind of difficult. And he was probably like, oh, no, I do that every day. That's like Tuesday for me. There's nothing.
That's the Joe Pesci special.
The chainsaw here really caught my attention because I was watching it and I was like, oh my god, well, this, there was a chainsaw in the last episode, and I was like, Chekhov's chainsaw, this is coming back. I know this is coming back.
It has to. I mean, especially
spoilers,
considering
it comes back.
Yeah.
I mean, we got the chainsaw in the picture for the episode, so like,
right.
I saw the chainsaw too, and I was like, there it is.
The famed chainsaw.
He gets up out of that pool, and we see that a gardener or somebody is trying to do his job, but Vic screams at him to stop all that shit, and he'd like to catch a few Z's over here. He tells the dude to go play somewhere else and takes a seat near the pool. He talks more about how now it's all nice and quiet and starts reading his newspaper. The gardener complains, and Joe harasses him some more and lays back down.
Oh, this poor worker.
I know, right? He's just trying to do his damn job. Behind him and up on a balcony, the two girls are watching Vic and saying, you think what I'm thinking? And the other asks that we can finally put the past behind us. And the other says that they deserve to be happy. And they both say together,
Daddy would have wanted it this way.
Ooh.
One girl says that she wishes both of their husbands could be there with them at the same time.
What an insane ask. I mean, really.
Yeah. And one of them smiles saying that we can always share. And then they both giggle.
Then why did he even need to pretend to be two people if they were willing to share him? Anyway.
Could have made things so much easier for everyone.
Yeah, I don't know why that was never brought up.
Like, they just never mentioned it.
It wasn't one of their ideas. I don't know. It seems like the first one you would choose, but whatever.
Right.
With Vic, he's laying on his tummy in the chair, and a gentle breeze flaps his shirt, covering a small section of his back.
That was really smart, I felt like, because I was watching it, and I thought, why are we spending so much time looking at Joe Pesci's back? And this I really thought that, like, this is important, but I don't know why. And I felt like it was really smart.
Yeah, I didn't really catch it when I first watched it. Like, it has a reason. Like, it's part of the story. And then when they talk about it, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's important. I should run back and put it back in my notes then. Because I didn't originally. Because it was so, like, mundane, you know?
Yeah.
Over with the girls, one of them is doing some laundry, and she asks, darling, why can't I come with you to South Africa? Vic tells her, it's hot, it's sticky, you'd hate it. So she asks, well, when's your brother coming back? June misses him so much. She's beside herself. Vic tells April that his bro will be back tomorrow night and tries to open up a drawer. But it's not opening up, so he complains about it and wonders what's inside of it, since it's not his shirt. April hands him over his shirt, and he smooches her on the cheek. Then she looks down and notices that Vic is very sunburnt, and she giggles because there's that small section that isn't all sizzled up on Joe Pesci. It's where the shirt flopped over on him.
Yeah. And she doesn't really say anything to him about it. Like, she mentions the sunburn, but she doesn't talk about the stripe, right?
Right. Yeah. Vicky's all, whatever. I got a little sunburnt. Sun's a lot hotter in South Africa. We cut over to the pool where June and April are lounging, and the gardener is cutting some stuff up with a chainsaw again. June tells her sister that Jack is an animal. Last night, he tied me up in bed, and it wasn't the first time either. April's all, oh my God, you're kidding. Vic does that to me too. Crazy.
Wow.
Oh.
I mean, their rooms are right next to each other. I feel like they would hear each other, but whatever. Whatever. No,
I'm surprised they even have separate rooms, to be honest.
Yeah, that's true.
The two girls giggle about that, and she says, man, they're alike in all sorts of ways, huh? June then says the other night when Jack was going to bed, his back was all tanned, except for this little pale strip. And she giggles. April takes off her sunglasses saying, wait, you're kidding, right? Just before Vic left for South Africa, he sunburned his back and he had the same thing.
Shit.
Uh-oh.
The jig is up.
The two girls look at each other and then we cut over to Vic in the shower singing it up. The twins step on in and they go to work investigating. They check out his coat and his pants and see that Jack's fake ponytail is chilling on the chair.
He is not careful. Like, he lives with these people.
Like, just got his clip-on ponytail just sitting there.
You would think that at some point one of the twins would like rub her hands through his head and be like, hey, why is this ponytail fake? But
right.
The girls pick it up and then they start breathing all heavy because they're pissed. Oh, yeah.
They're like sensually pissed. They're like breathing so angry.
I've never seen anybody be so livid at this ponytail. Yeah. We cut over to Vic getting all dressed up, singing about how he's too sexy for this earring and this house and everything. He's got his sweet ponytail on, telling them girls that they better get dressed up to kill because he's taking them out for the most awesome feast ever.
Ooh.
I wonder what he's got planned.
I know. Unfortunately, we'll never find out. Yeah, probably more ice cream.
Then he looks and sees that the dresser is open and there's a glove sticking out of it. So he checks that shit out and notices a newspaper that reads, E. Dobbs Blair found dead. Then he finds more newspaper clippings. One reads, Blair twins questioned in the death of architect. He looks at it some more, reading one that says, foul play suspected in the death of architect.
Why would you keep these? Like, if you were accused of murder, mm-hmm. why would you keep all of the newspaper articles about it?
I wondered the same
because
thing.
Because you're a freak.
Yep, that's okay. What I came up with, too.
I was just confused about it, okay?
From behind him, he doesn't notice it, but there are two twins that are moving in on him. Vic's all, get the fuck out, and reads another newspaper, because that stuff is addicting, you know? Mm-hmm, we talked about it, murders and stuff. It says that the twins were acquitted of father's death by juvenile court. From behind him, the twins stand, and one bashes Vic in the head with a gun. It goes black. Oof. And then we come back, and Vic snaps awake, and he can't move because he's tied up in bed.
Ah, taste of his own medicine.
Mm-hmm. He yells out, hey, what the fuck is going on? What the hell's yous doing?
You can tell he's getting real stressed. He's adding lots of S's.
He asks for them to let him go, and at the end of the bed are the two twins just staring at him. Then they say, hello, darling, in unison, and Vic is all, okay, so I was in love with the both of you. Big deal. What was I supposed to do, huh? Can I make you both happy? Now that's the truth. He just talks. He just talks, you guys. Now that's the truth. Can I make you happy? Come on, I don't know the thing much, father. I mean, yeah. I'm not saying you did anything, but even if you did, well, I don't fucking care. Yeah. He just talks.
Trying to
talks.
Get out of being.
He goes killed. Into Joe Pesci mode, is what it happens here.
Right.
He goes full Joe Pesci.
One of the twins says, but we did do it, Vic. We shared everything, but we didn't want to share him anymore. The other twin adds, it was too hard with one of them and two of us. We were just too selfish. And the other adds, like now. Uh-oh. One of the twins steps away out of the room and Vic yells, hey, where's she going? And the remaining twin tells Vic that she wants to let her sis do the honors. Vic asks, what honors? As we hear something starting up in the distance. The remaining twin says that she was always the moral corn of the two of us. Right, Jack?
Oh.
In walks the other twin with a chainsaw.
It's back!
There it is. Chainsaw. It's a chainsaw. She revs that shit up as Vic screams and calls them screwballs. Then he apologizes as the twins dig that chainsaw right into his crotch.
Right into it, man.
They show it.
They did. Do.
I didn't think they would, and they did.
I thought they would cut away like 5 seconds before they do.
I sure thought they'd cut away too. And so I was like, I guess I'll keep looking. They'll probably cut away.
Surprise! Vic screams a bunch, and then this blood splatter effect happens. It hits the screen. Mm-hmm. And we pop over a little later, and one of the twins is putting her hands on Vic, who's laying there with his eyes open. She says, so sorry about that, honey. It's all right, though. And the camera pans over to the other twin in the other bedroom, doing the same thing with Joe Pesci's other half there.
Other half.
Yeah. And then the camera pans some more, and we see that there are just two halves of Vic. He's been severed perfectly in half with a chainsaw, and the gals get exactly what they want.
I mean, surgical perfection, truly. Yeah. Right down the middle.
Yeah. And the clothes, even.
And like the half of him that is like, you know, on the camera, it's not bloody whatsoever.
Right. I thought about that too. And it's like the way they're laying in bed too, is that they're both facing the insides of him, like the bloody, you know, and they're just like, oh, darling. They're not even looking at the part of him that has a face.
I love it. We split fade back over to the Crypt Keeper, who's got some more money and cards on the table. Oh, and he also has a beating heart that he chops in half with a cleaver.
Nice.
Saying, I guess old Vino Vic could double his fun and his bank account. Is that what he says? Whatever.
He says, I guess Vino Vic thought he could double his fun, right?
Okay. Yeah. I was I feel like I'm missing a word here.
Yeah.
Too bad he was only half right. Oh, well, it just proves the old saying, behind every bad man, there's two women with a chainsaw.
And he
laughs. Then he asks, so kiddies, care for a little maim of chance? Dead's I win, tails you ooze. And then he laughs us out of the episode. And that was Split Personality.
Great jokes, honestly. I love that.
We had some awful puns last week, so
they're all awful.
They are. They're pretty bad. I feel like they're just like progressively getting worse as this like series goes on.
They're probably running out of puns.
I'm sure that season 7 is just like atrocious with puns. I can't wait. But yeah, I mean, what'd you guys think? What'd you guys think of this here little Split Personality thing we watched?
It was a fun little episode.
It was fun. I really enjoyed it. It did make me, like I said, it made me feel a little uneasy. So I was a little happy when it was over. But I did like it a lot. I loved the acting in it, and I thought it was pretty creative. Honestly, when I saw the chainsaw, I didn't know how it would come back into play. And I just, until the end there, when she pulled it out, was like, ah, I get it now.
I mean, I had a feeling that's how it was going to end by the end of it. Because once they started talking about how, oh, we, you know, share everything, I was like, okay, he's getting split in half. But I don't know. I got a little side kerfluffled there because of all that gambling thing at the beginning. I was like, oh, is this going to come back up? And it doesn't.
Man.
But I did love it. I mean, Joe Pesci was great in this episode. He was full on Joe Pesci just talking. Which I feel
he
like
carried
really
this episode. If it was another actor, this episode would be totally different.
I feel like you're right.
He did a great job.
So I don't know. Did you guys learn anything from Split Personality? Is there anything to be learned here?
If the sign says no trespassing, mind your business.
Can't do it, especially when that gate's open. I can just walk right past it, you know.
Always hit on 19.
Yeah, you'll win every time, right?
It's guaranteed.
Yeah, I guess you know, Vic was right. You know, two's better than one. I guess
there were some times in the episode where two was better than one, but at the end, it seemed like that wasn't the case.
This episode did something fun where they like did doubles of a lot of things, like the two cats running in front of him that made him like swerve off the road, the two cars that the girls had. But I feel like they could have done it. They could have went even more with the like two or one kind of thing. It was a fun theme, though. I'm glad they did it. Let's see. Alternative titles. I mean, Split Personality. I feel like that would have been... that kind of reminds me, too. One of the things I thought might have happened was that there was only one girl and Joe Pesci was just crazy. I thought it was going to go that angle for a second, but then it didn't because they were out in public eating ice cream. Yeah, I thought it was going to be like a whole Fight Club kind of situation. Spoilers for Fight Club. Sorry if you haven't seen it, Robin.
No, I've seen it.
Okay. I feel, Fight Club came out in like 1998. I feel like everybody's seen it, but...
Yeah, I think you're good with spoilers.
But yeah, split personality.
Daddy issues.
Yeah, right. Yes. Daddy issues would have been better.
That would be an alternate title, I think, and I think it would work very well for this episode.
The flamboyant Jack. It could have just been called Twins, right? Wasn't Joe Pesci in something called Twins? No, that was Danny DeVito.
That was Danny DeVito.
My bad.
Could be called that anyway. Twins 2.
Yeah. I think that would have been fine. Do you guys want to meet this cast of characters that we got?
Yes.
Yeah, who is this Joe Pesci guy?
I don't know, but his IMDb profile has him with a full head of hair. So I don't know if he got a hair transplant or if it's an old picture. I don't know. Joe Pesci is our main character here. Played Vic / Jack, kind of. With a ponytail. He's been in lots of stuff. Well, not really. He's only been in 46 things, but he's very, like, I mean, it's Joe Pesci. I think he's just a household name.
Yeah, like, I mean, God, only 46 things? It feels like he's been in everything everywhere.
Yeah.
Wow. I make that joke all the time.
My favorite role that he was in was his first role. Not that I've seen it, but it just sounds hilarious. He was in 1961's Hey, Let's Twist, where he played dancer at the Peppermint Club.
Oh.
That's a great
role.
I don't
know about you guys. I want to see him dance. I want to see Joe Pesci dance. Yeah.
You know, he was friends with the Jersey Boys. You know, you guys ever see that musical, Jersey Boys? So it's about Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, and he was like friends with them. They were because there's a part in the movie where he's like, yeah, we go with our friend Joe Pesci. Yeah, that Joe Pesci. And then he just keeps talking.
He was later in something in 1982 called I'm Dancing as Fast as I Can. So I don't know if Joe Pesci's a dancer or what, but.
Well, we saw him dance when he was too sexy for his house. Like,
there was some twisting going on. Yeah.
He did have a good dance off for a second. You're right. Oh, I forgot about this, you guys. He was in Moonwalker, the 1988 movie experience from Michael Jackson for Smooth Criminal.
Yeah.
I've seen that. I've seen Moonwalker.
I've never seen that.
Michael Jackson turns into a transformer in it, I'm pretty sure, or like a car or something.
God.
But yeah, Joe Pesci's a bad guy.
Perfect.
He was in Lethal Weapon 2. I think he's best known for Home Alone, don't you think?
Probably. Isn't he in a few gangster movies? Or I thought he was in
Yes. Yeah, he was in Goodfellas in 1990.
Goodfellas.
Same year as Home Alone.
Yeah, I was thinking Goodfellas might be one of the big ones too.
And yeah, Casino. He was in Casino as well in 1995. Home Alone 2, of course. Tour de force in Home Alone 2. More recently, I mean, he was in a couple of Lethal Weapons and then My Cousin Vinny.
Oh, yeah. That one's great.
He wasn't in a lot of things. Like, he had Joe Pesci, Wise Guy in 1998. And then he was in The Good Shepherd in 2006. Love Ranch in 2010. So he like picks the movies he wants to be in.
Yeah.
Most recently, I know he was in The Irishman from 2019.
Yeah.
Which I hear is a very long movie. I haven't watched it.
I've seen that. It was long.
I only have so much time left on this earth and I can't spend it watching The Irishman. So
understood.
He was in 2013, he was in a TV series called Bupkis.
I don't know what the fuck that is. Perfect. Bupkis. Yeah.
Bupkis. And then he was in Day of the Flight, which sounds like the nightmare I had last night. So that's cool.
You should watch it.
Not going to do that. Next character, you guys. That was Joe Pesci. Still alive, still kicking it, still being, you know, Joe Pesci. Next up, we're going to talk about April Dobbs Blair, played by Jacqueline Alexandra Citron.
Ooh.
And she was in Seven
fancy
Things.
Fancy names.
Mm-hmm. Seven Things started off 1989 with Cheers. She was in one episode. Then she went to Quantum Leap, then Taking Care of Business.
All right.
It's just Grand Canyon from 1991. Then she was in Tales from the Crypt, Empty Nest in 92, Herman's Head in 93, and she said, I'm out of here. I'm done. I've had enough. Her sister, we got June Echelon. No, that's not. Whatever. We got June. I'm not going to say her name. But played by Kristen Amber Citron. So they were I mean, unsurprisingly, actually twins. Yeah. And she played in exactly the same things.
Yeah.
Their IMDb profiles are identical. Just
so
like
they were
are.
Just basic. They were just basically like the twins. Like they just did TV
when
twins.
When you needed twins.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you needed twins, but only for seven things.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah. Next up, Burt Young. He played that gambler at the beginning, the late Burt Young. He just passed away in 2023.
Aw.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace, Burt Young. Now, Brandon, you said, like, oh, that's obviously Burt Young. What did you recognize him from?
Bro, that's Paulie from Rocky.
I've never seen Rocky.
Oh, Rocky's a great movie. The first one.
Rocky is a great movie.
Is Rocky the boxing movie with Sylvester Stallone?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Okay. I'm just like, no, that's one of those. Okay. Like, I know when that's what it is, but it's like one of those things, like, am I right? I should double check.
No, I'm so sorry. No, it was more man. Like, you poor thing. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
I love
no,
that.
It's fine. I totally understand. I have watched Creed, though. So, like,
well,
I know.
There you
know
go. There right. you go. Yeah.
Yeah, you can go back to the first one.
Yeah.
These guys. So, Burt Young here. He started things off in 1969 with The Doctors, where he played a bartender in an uncredited role for one episode. Starting off strong. He was in MASH and Little House on the Prairie in 74.
All right.
My sister loves that show. The Choir Boys in 77. Daddy, I Don't Like It Like This in 1978. He was in a TV movie called Murder Can Hurt You. Who knew?
Is that right?
He played Paulie and Rocky in 76, in 79, 70, or 82. A lot of them. Amityville 2, The Possession. I'm just going to scroll up here. Let's get to some more recent stuff here. He was in Crocodile Shoes in 1994. Three episodes of a TV miniseries.
All right.
Cool. Walker, Texas Ranger. He was in two full episodes of that show. That's awesome. The Boys of Sunset Ridge from 2001.
Huh.
I know, right? More recently, 2018, he was in Six Children and One Grandfather, the movie.
What?
Yep.
You guys know it. You guys love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was in a couple of things in 2021. Whack the Don. Tomorrow's Today. Tomorrow's Today again. I don't know if there's two of them or what.
What?
The Final Code was his the final movie in 2021, and then he passed away.
All right, yeah, okay, that's Burt. That's Burt Young. And,
yeah, I feel like I did you no justice, Burt. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I mentioned you on the podcast.
He's a great actor.
Let me look at the prostitute real quick here. Nah, she's only in nine things. Nah.
All right, well, that's everyone then.
I think that's everybody. I think that is split second, you guys.
I do think that the twins did a really good job. They
oh me too
they definitely knew how to be creepy, and I think they really honed in on that, the talking at the same time and just talking like this. Oh man, if only there were two. I think that was very creepy, and it made me shudder a lot. I was watching the show.
I feel like they channeled. I mean, when you think of twins, I think the most famous twins are The Shining, right?
Yeah.
And I think they really honed in on their creepiness level.
Yeah.
And it worked really well.
They were like them grown up.
I actually quite liked the twins. I thought they were weird or whatever, but I could see them being good people, except for the part where they kill people. But
right. Except for the murder, which murder hurts that, people, by the way.
I just learned that today.
I don't know if you knew that.
I just learned that, yeah.
But yeah, except for the murder, I mean, he really took advantage of them. He lied to them, you know, and they might not have been that bad. Except for the murder again, that was pretty bad.
Yeah, they had to make Joe Pesci, who was a piece of shit in this episode, you know, you had to make him feel bad because, like, these girls murdered their daddy, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I liked it. Brandon, do you want to find out what's next week? We'll figure this out.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Okay. So next week, we got season 4, episode 12. It's called Strung Along.
Ah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen this one, Robin? Like, have you watched all of Tales from the Crypt?
No, I've only seen select episodes. I've never seen the whole series. Yeah.
That's no problem. So this one reads, as far as the IMDb paragraph. It's not even, it's a sentence. It says, an aging puppeteer suspects his much younger wife has a lover. Oh my.
Oh, an aging puppeteer. Okay. That means creepy puppets.
I can't. I'm.
Yeah, is this another Bobcat?
No. No, we have Donald O'Connor.
Oh, really?
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
that's cool.
Sure, yeah. Patricia Charbonneau. Charbonneau? Chanticleer? I don't know. How about Zach Galligan? We have Zach Galligan?
All right.
Okay.
We have Tom Dugan as a paramedic. Anything?
No.
Okay. Well, that's next week. We'll figure it out next week. Robin, I just got to say, thank you so much for joining us again for a beautiful episode of Tales from the Crypt with Joe Pesci and chainsaws. It was wonderful.
Always a delight.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always our pleasure to have you on the show. I think you're wonderful. Would you talk about your podcast a little bit? Like what you've been doing lately on it?
Sure. My podcast is the Black East Diaries movie TV podcast. And we are about to start, right as of right now, we're recording, we're about to start Frightening February, which we do every year. Yes. And we do episodes about horror history, usually that kind of stuff. Our first episode is The Twilight Zone, the series.
Damn, the whole thing?
Nice.
Yep, we did an episode of the whole thing. So it's a pretty, you know, pretty wide-ranging episode. Couldn't go into a lot of detail about each episode, but I really, really enjoyed researching The Twilight Zone because, gosh, it's so fascinating. So we get that episode. We're going to have an episode on the 1990 It miniseries.
Beautiful.
Which I'm really, really excited to do. We one of our hosts, Adam, it doesn't like scary stuff, so we couldn't do the new It. We had to do the 1990 one.
So many people are so scared of the 90s one, though. I hear it brought up all the time. And I'm I watched it probably like, it was in the late 90s, I think, when I first saw it. And I was like, what are people talking about? This isn't scary at all.
Yeah. So, I think people must have watched it at that perfect time when it was just a little too much for kids. And because when I was a kid, I never watched it as a child, but I remember the cover. And that cover is seared into my brain. Like, I remember seeing it and being like, oh, God, you know. And because I'm not even afraid of clowns. Like, my dad is actually a clown.
What? Your dad's a clown?
Yeah, my dad's a clown. So, like, the clown aspect did not freak me out. But, like, the demon hand or whatever he's, like, ripping. And it just, ooh. And so, like, also it worked really well for me because, to me, clowns were friendly and nice. And so, like, mean clown, the idea of a mean clown really did kind of freak me out a little bit.
Can I ask what your dad's clown name is?
It's Ichabod Body.
That sounds like a drag name. I love it.
he has him and my Uncle Steve do it together, and their names are Archibald Oddie and Ichabod Body, and so together they're Oddie and Body. Yeah.
That's one of the cutest things I think I've ever heard.
It is. They're very good. They're very cute. My dad is a sad clown, and Uncle Steve is a happy clown.
That's incredible. That is amazing. I had another question for you. Have you ever read the book for It?
I have not read it, the whole thing. My brother used to read it to me.
That's weird. Okay.
Yeah, because he liked scaring me. So he would, and he liked all the riddles in it. So he would like read me, we'd be at camping and stuff, and he'd be like, okay, listen to this one, you know. my dad told me that when he started to read it, it got to the part where he eats Georgie. And my dad was like, I can't read the description of him eating a child.
Yeah, so I think that's one of those books where it hits different before and after you have kids kind of thing.
Yeah. But
I read it in high school. I really liked it. And then I made Brandon read it, I think.
So, yep.
Yeah. That's what we did.
Did you like it, Brandon?
Yeah, I loved it. It's a great book.
Oh, good.
I think it's one of my favorite books, I think. We also did that with The Stand. Brandon read The Stand first, and he had like the gigantic edition that had like a billion pages.
Nice.
And he was like, he finished it up. He's like, okay, you have to read it now. And I was like, is it good? And he was like, just fucking read it. And I was like, okay. So I spent a month reading that.
Oh, man. Yeah, I love his writing. It's very good. So I'm always recommending it to people at work. So
I do too.
Yeah.
Brandon also made me read All the Dark Towers. So there was that.
Oh, yeah. The Dark Tower series. It. Yes.
Oh, I will say, though, I never read the key or the wind through the keyhole thing because it was like a, you know, it took place in the middle of it. And I was like, but I already read it all. I don't need this.
Yeah. Same for me.
You're like, I'm good. I don't need that. Yeah. I understand that. Yeah.
Well, Robin, where can people find you on social media? I'd love for people to follow you because you got good stuff going.
Oh, thank you. We are on Instagram at Black Ace Diaries Podcast, and we're on Threads, same handle.
Threads.
Yeah, yep. And we're also on X, formerly Twitter, at Black Ace Diary. And we have a website, blackcasediaries.com. Everything that you need to know about us is on the website, all of our past episodes. We even have a search bar. So if there's something that you really like and you want to know about, if you put the name in, you might find an episode about it.
Yeah, and our podcasts are like kind of the same age too. So you probably have covered like, you know, pretty much. It's like Reddit. You know, you search on Reddit and you find what you want to look for. It'll be on there for Black Case Diaries.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want Casper, so it's there. You want talking about the voice of Minnie Mouse, she's there.
Yes, Casper is definitely on there. Big fan of that movie, for sure.
Well, I think I'm all done here, you guys. I just want to say again, thanks so much for joining us, Robin. Love having you on the show. We'll definitely have you back on at some point here. We'll figure out another day and time. Hopefully not at 6 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, but we'll see what happens.
We'll see.
But I think that's everything. I've been up all night, Brandon, and I think I'm out of here. I'll talk to you guys. Well, I'll talk to Brandon next week. Robin, I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
We'll dish on Instagram.
Sure. I'll see you later. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.